And joining me right now here on the Mark Mosey Show to go over the latest on the NFL owners' meetings, which has been going on the last couple days in Central Florida. And we'll get to the magic. He's my good friend Mike Tuck, local broadcaster and instructor at the Dan Patrick School of Sportscasting. Mike, how you doing today?
I'm good, man. What is up, Mr. Moses?
Where was our invite to the NFL owners' meetings? Why didn't you and me go? What happened?
I have been to the JW several times. I think they just said, you've been too many times. So they said I wasn't allowed to come. I don't know what happened to you. To me, you're the center of the NFL universe right now as a Bears fan. So I'm a little confused why your invite was lost in the mail.
No, you wouldn't want that. You can't have me talking to the Bears brass. Okay? Don't let that happen.
Right? That's exactly why you didn't get invited right there.
Yeah, I did not. I give credit to Ryan Poles, the GM of the Bears, where he went on multiple stations and discussed how he really got destroyed by the Justin Fields trade. Like, he had to own it. What was your take on what the Bears got for Justin Fields?
Less, way less than I ever would have anticipated. And maybe that's my fault, right? Sometimes I think we have to own ignoring what has been a trend, and I mean this as a complete slight to NFL teams and front offices here when I say this. So I'm putting the blame on them that Fields did not go for more. That teams would rather apparently invest in dead end backup quarterback types like Sam Darnold and like Gardner Minshew, etc., over a young former first-round pick who has untapped upside. It is bewildering to me why you would spend upwards of even $10 million on someone who is going to do nothing for your franchise long-term, like several organizations that were quarterback needy did, as opposed to investing in Justin Fields. I just am blown away by it. Even the idea, I'm not saying Kirk Cousins isn't good, but he's a 35-year-old coming off an Achilles injury who has one career playoff victory to his name and never really, I'll say, fulfilled the team's potential in Minnesota or in Washington, and now he has a third team going all in on him. That has been commonplace, I'll say, for NFL teams in the past, and it was my fault for ignoring how stupid they could be when making these decisions.
Do you think Pittsburgh are a big winner by getting Russell Wilson and Justin Fields for absolutely nothing?
Yeah, I mean, God, they got two quarterbacks for next to nothing. The Wilson thing, I thought he was honestly toast before he ever left Seattle, and I was on the record of saying that on air. Not that I thought he was useless, just that I thought the obvious signs were there in Seattle that he just wasn't the same player anymore. And that's what happens when, you know, you're not the prototype. And he wasn't, but did he ever make the most of his skills that he did have. And great success, not taking away from what he did. He's got a Ring of Honor kind of career in Seattle. But to get him at the price they're getting him at in Pittsburgh versus what they had a year ago, it makes a lot of sense. And now to add Justin Fields into the mix, and however they're going to sort that out, if there's a coach I think who can sort through personalities, because God knows he has in the past, it's Mike Tomlin. So they'll figure it out. They're going to win games, I think, based on really the improvement of their defense as much as it will be quarterback play, because I think it's inevitable the quarterback play is going to be better than it was for the last couple of seasons.
All right, when does Fields start? What week? Come on.
Barring injury, of course, that could happen to anybody. I would say he gets his first start by no later than Halloween.
All right, he's going with Halloween. That is the benchmark. Yes. And that fan base, I could see them where they're chanting for Justin Fields early. I could see this.
Yeah.
This is going to be interesting. Oh, yeah. Do you think every Bears fan will be watching Justin Fields on the Steelers?
I think so. Not necessarily cheering for him or against him, but just sort of a curiosity of, was it us? Was it us?
Yes.
Or were we right to move on from him? And they will look more hard at Justin Fields if Caleb Williams is not playing well. If Caleb Williams is playing well, then it'll almost be like a little, like, look behind the curtain. How's he doing? I'm just a little curious. Otherwise, it is watching his games almost as much as it's watching their own games, if Caleb does struggle in any way.
Does Caleb Williams have unrealistic expectations from everyone for year one? Because I think it's he has never started in the NFL, and it's all, oh, well, he's got all these weapons. We'll be great. What? He needs to play.
Let me ask you, what do you define are his realistic expectations?
He is going to make mistakes. I don't care what rookie you are. Andrew Luck, you know, Peyton Manning, all these guys make mistakes their rookie year.
Sure.
I think they're going to make it. I think this is going to be baby steps with him. You're not going to have him. All right. You're not going to come out week one and throw the ball 45 times. Like, that's not happening. This is going to take time. And the key will have to be, can you be patient with this guy? And then by midseason, will he start making strides? But because I feel like everyone's like, well, this is a playoff team now with all these upgrades. And I'm like, whoa, you got to slow your roll on this one. That's my take.
Yeah. I mean, I do see where, and I think it's the other moves in addition, right? Like, it's the surprise Keenan Allen move and, you know, what they did at the end of last year defensively and adding to it this offseason with some of the moves they made that, I think even Vegas has them either as the 7 or 8 team in the NFC, which isn't a dramatic step up. They did win 7 games last year, but it's certainly a step up. I personally think that is realistic. I do think that there will be games they lose, because that's what teams in the middle do, right? You lose some games you shouldn't lose. And you win some games, perhaps people don't think you're going to win. That's how you end up with that 7, 8, 9, 10 win range. It'll be a roller coaster of sorts. And I think you're prepared for that because the way the media covers things, you know, one week he is the next greatest thing. The next week, you know, there's doubt because he has a 4 interception game or something. So I do think that roller coaster ride should be anticipated, but I do think that if I weren't predicting today, I would feel confident saying the Bears win more games next year than they won this year.
Does he have the potential to be the man?
Yeah, I don't know. We sometimes get carried away with even that definition. And it gets distorted a little bit when you have one quarterback who's hoarding Super Bowl rings, or 2 or 3. And honestly, the last 20 years in the NFL, that's kind of what we've looked at is, you know, a few quarterbacks hoarding all the championship rings. So you almost like start to question, like, who is the next person that we consider to be a great quarterback? But I think he will be quickly amongst that group of, the guys after Mahomes, whether he can elevate himself to 2 or he falls closer to 10, I think he is going to be in that range within a couple of years.
I think I asked you this question a couple weeks ago, but I'll do it again. Your Miami Dolphins, hypothetically, if you had the number one pick, would you dump Tua and take Caleb Williams?
Yes.
See?
And it's not a knock on Tua as much as it's an excitement for what I think Caleb brings to the table. And I think if you were to ask most NFL teams' general managers that with a lie detector test, that I would imagine there's probably at least 25 that would absolutely take Caleb Williams over the guy they have currently on their roster. And maybe even a few more than that. I think there's a few that would feel confident with what they have. But I think the vast majority would take Caleb Williams.
Who's the second pick to Washington, Mike Tuck?
Ooh. Wow, we're hitting big ones here today. I anticipate it will be Jaden Daniels. I think we almost undersell how well he played last year for LSU. Heisman Trophy, you know, awards aside, because those don't really matter a whole lot as far as NFL. He does everything well inside the pocket, and he gets attention for what he does outside the pocket. I think Jaden Daniels is a strong number two choice. I think Drake May is a strong number two choice. I think it's a strong quarterback year amongst those three where potentially any one of them a team could feel confident taking as the number one overall pick, like in another year, like in I'm knocking Jared Goff or Carson Wentz, but in a year like that, or, you know, even like in a Jameis Winston, Marcus Mariota kind of year, I think these three guys all could be seen as the number one pick. I'm going to go Jaden Daniels if you're asking me today.
Are you believing the hype for J.J. McCarthy? Because he might go fourth overall now.
Yeah, I am. I'm both believing the hype of him being drafted higher via trade up by somebody, whether it's four or five. Like Arizona, I think, is going to have to be really sold on a deal because they potentially would be giving up, you know, a Marvin Harrison Jr. So they really need to be sold. And then you would look at the Chargers, I think, as that next landing spot. And don't think it's an accident either. Jim Harbaugh is talking up J.J. McCarthy as the best quarterback in the draft because, of course, his team could benefit in a trade down and what they could receive in return. I do buy that hype, and I do think he's really good. I think he was asked to win games at Michigan and not perform. But if you look, and I've watched those that scout and, you know, videos and such, and when they highlight his NFL-level throws in, you know, third-down situations and his ability to read a defense and identify who the open man is, which were not as many, right, as the other quarterbacks because he played on the dominant team. I do think he has the skill set. He's a, you know, a five-star coming out of high school, so he has the physical tools. He just wasn't asked to use them as often. I think he's going to go that high. I'd be surprised if he fell past six in the draft.
Are we just going to have all offensive players in the top 10?
It's insane. I think there's a decent chance we get at least 9 out of 10. But I don't think any less than like 8 out of 10 that are going to be offensive players.
It's going to be quarterbacks, wide receivers. Brock Bowers, I love.
Offensive lineman, that's it. Yeah. And Bowers. And yeah, I think you might get a corner, maybe. And I don't think there's an agreed upon order on those. I think there's like three guys that are potentially the top corner off the board. You have a couple of defensive ends that I think are in that conversation. But it's possible none of them get into the top 10, but I do think it's more likely than not, like one or two of them will.
Does it weird you out that your Miami Dolphins are not in the top 15? And
it's a nice feeling.
It's weird.
It's another thing though. It's a little weird. They're actually having a first round pick too, because
that's right.
Between being, you know, a dumb ownership group that, you know, cheats and does things that you have to give away a first round pick, and then the three trades they made with Tyreek Hill and Bradley Chubb and what was the other one? There was another one in there, but you get the idea. Like Waddle, I guess, in that year was the last time they had a first round pick.
That is wild to think about. It is. I'm sad that the draft is a month away, but I will tell you this: when the Bears are up there at number one, I am soaking in all those 10 minutes. I don't care. We're not rushing up there. This has never happened in my lifetime. And my dad, we were talking about this the other day, he's 72. His lifetime either. The Bears have not had the number one pick. I'm trying to think, your Dolphins, so what'd you have, 2008? You had the number one pick, right?
Right.
And before that, you haven't had it very often, the first pick.
Ooh. I don't know if they have had it before, not in my lifetime, because with Shula, I don't know that they had. Maybe it was before Shula.
It might have been.
If anything.
Yeah.
Yeah, because they had so much success. I don't know that they ever picked that high.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy to think about. All right, we're here with Mike Tuck. Let's switch gears. The Orlando Magic, they're going to be in the playoffs. We don't know the seed right now, but we're in this kind of home stretch here over the next couple weeks, where we're going to find out where they'll be the seed. Tonight they got Golden State. What are your thoughts on the Magic right now heading into tonight?
It's a big game for both teams. You know, the Rockets are creeping up on the Warriors, who are already in a tough position that they might have to win two games just to be the 8th seed. It just speaks to the depth in the West, I think, as much as anything. But it's a big game, so you know you're going to have Warriors fans there because Steph Curry is one of the most popular players in the world, so you're not necessarily going to have a fully stacked deck of home fans there tonight, but it's a big one because You know, if you're the Magic, you're still hoping that you're going to be in a position where you're hosting a game one, which is not something I think anyone anticipated happening before the beginning of the season. So if you can give yourself that opportunity to be the four, maybe be the three, if you look at the Cavs schedule, I think there is a possibility that the Magic could get into that mix, then, yeah, you want to do it. So you're playing with a little bit of house money at this point. You want to win in the playoffs. Like, I think expectations change as seasons go along. I don't think you always say, hey, revert back to what you thought at the beginning of the year, because that's not fair, because, like, it's heck, we see it in football more than anything. A team suddenly finds themselves, you know, atop the standings in a conference, and it's like, wow, we just thought we wanted to make the playoffs. Now we can go to a Super Bowl. So I think if you're the Magic, your hope is to try to win a first-round series, bare minimum. I think that's where expectations are. Your best chance of doing that is to get home court advantage. So if you're the Magic, you have to keep winning to try to stay or get back to four or maybe even get to three.
Should Jamal Mosley win Coach of the Year?
You asked me that a few weeks ago, and I think we both agreed he has to be in consideration. I don't know if he's going to get it, because what we tend to do is we give it to people who do way better than we anticipated them doing. So, like, as an example, a team like Minnesota, who could end up one in the West versus where they were, they had to play their way into eight last year. So a guy like Finch might have an edge. Dejounay in Oklahoma City, same sort of situation, like not a playoff team to maybe the one seed. I would think voters are going to look there first, but I think Mosley's probably looking at a top three finish.
I'll just keep asking the question every couple weeks till they give the award.
He's in the, and that's what you want though. Like, right. Is Paolo Banchero going to be, you know, first, second or third team All-NBA? No. But is he in consideration for third team? Yeah, I think he's had the year where you look at the team's record and what he's done. That's what you want. Like, it's small potatoes. Next year, maybe, you know, you're more amped to think that's a possibility for him. But at the end of the day, I don't think you're being disrespected if like, neither one of those guys gets an award.
When's the last time you went to a playoff game at the Amway Kia Center?
Ooh. I did not. Well, so they made it during the pandemic, so I didn't go there. Uh-huh. The year before they made it, I did not. So that had to be, what, 2019?
Yes.
I didn't go that year, so it had to be the last time they made the playoffs, 2012? Last when they lost. I was there when they got eliminated, I think against Atlanta, if I remember right, in the first round.
So 12 years ago.
So yeah.
12.
Yeah.
12
That's
years
crazy.
Ago. That
and
is
really,
wild.
If you're someone that covers the Magic, you've only had two playoff games at home since then.
Yes, I went to one of them.
Right. Oh, okay. So you were at least a few years, 5 years ago.
I've been here since 2013, so 11 years ago, which is mind boggling. And I went to game. I think I went to game four in 2019 against Toronto. That was it.
Yeah.
That is wild,
wow.
Dude.
And again, you only had two opportunities. You went to one of them.
Yeah. That's how crazy that is. My joke is, and I know it's sad to say, I think there's been more Selena Gomez concerts at that stadium than playoff games. That's sad.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure we could probably look over the list of concerts. There's probably a few artists that have been there.
Oh, yeah.
More than two times.
Yeah. I think you're absolutely, like, Elton John's probably performed there more times. I'm not kidding. It's like crazy. It is. All right. Before I let you go. I talked about this yesterday from the standpoint of the number one player in Major League Baseball, Mike Tuck, is in a controversy right now.
Mm.
But I don't know if it's the number one subject in sports right now with Shohei Ohtani. What is your thoughts on this story that's going on right now with the Dodgers?
Yeah, I think that if it isn't, and you're probably right, it's because of our obsession with other sports. You know, NFL always, you know, takes precedent. March Madness going on. Heck, there's other gambling scandals right now that are going on. So there are some things that are taking that away from the front burner. I think for some people it probably is at least back burner. My speculation I will share with you on what happened here, and that's all it is. I don't have any more evidence than anyone else investigating this, is that I believe Shohei knew that his friend, his translator, who is both an employee of the Dodgers and his friend, was deep in gambling, right? You know, they talk, they're friends, so he probably knew he had this problem. He probably thought he was being a friend to help him out, to try to get him out of this problem. I do not think, this is my opinion, I do not think Shohei Ohtani himself was gambling. But I do think he was trying to help a friend out. And now that it became a federal investigation, I think he is trying to backpedal out of what he knew and how he was aware of it. And he has been forced into going the "he stole the money from me" route. And maybe there is some slight truth to that, in that maybe Ohtani was misled in what he was doing. Maybe he thought the guy was done and he was gambling more of it. You know, there could be some pent-up frustration or anger there. I don't know, of course. But I do think he's trying to help a friend out at the end of the day, and now he's kind of forced into not being able to help him out, which leads us to where the confusion is in all this. Like, where are the Chargers being pressed? Who is he pressing charges with? Is he going to actually press charges, even though they said they have and they won't tell us who? Maybe he's mad. Maybe he isn't mad. It's hard to say. I think we all react different. Everyone says, I hear, well, if I stole $4.5 million from me, I'd be mad. Okay, but dude's worth $1 billion. Like,
yeah.
I'm not saying he's not mad, but like, I would be a different level of mad if it was somebody I knew that was close to me versus somebody who wasn't. So I don't think we can say for certain that any of us would be so angry that we'd want our friend going to prison over this. But yeah, it's definitely not a good look for him, not a good look for baseball or the Dodgers. And I don't know that we're going to have the answers we want until well after the season starts. Who knows? Maybe this is like a June story that, you know, further investigation that reveals nothing or reveals a whole lot more.
I love where he has the press conference. People are talking about it. And then the NFL's like, hey, we're going to change the kickoff. And then that just takes over.
You're right, though. That the average sports fan cares more about that. And it's not baseball's fault, but they just don't have the frontline star, and I'm not sure they have probably since even Derek Jeter, that really would generate headlines if they got in trouble, like if a Derek Jeter did. I don't know that baseball has that guy. They got great players, but I don't know if that guy exists. What do you think?
It doesn't. These guys now are not as famous. And I'm going to sound old. When we were growing up, those guys in the 90s were big. Like Ken Griffey Jr., Mark McGwire, they were famous baseball players. Like famous.
Sure.
They're not like that anymore. No way.
No, you're right. Like the Sosa, McGwire, Bonds. I think handing it off to Jeter and then A-Rod because of the good and bad reasons for A-Rod. And those A-Rod and Jeter probably were about the last two that were as famous and popular outside of their sport as that we saw, to your point, in the 90s.
There's a part of me, I think Mike Trout, who's the best American baseball player, I think he could walk around in Orlando Mall and won't get recognized at first. I'm not kidding.
Yeah.
It's sad to see. It really is. His name's Mike Tuck. My man, thank you so much for coming on. I know you're busy. Have a great day, and I hope I can get you on again.
Always fun, buddy.
This is your time. Now go out there and take it.
All right, what's on tap here for Wednesday, March 27th? Orlando Magic, big game tonight there at the Kia Center, taking on the Golden State Warriors. I'm going to try to get out for that. AEW Wrestling, we got more college basketball. All this stuff is going on right now. I love it. That's what's on tap. Let's wrap it up. I'd like to thank Mike Tuck, Michael Langston, Joe Lucia. You heard from Jake Chapman as well. You miss anything, go to our website at sportsradio1560.com. Check out the podcast page. You can always listen live. CBS Sports Radio is coming up next. So for everyone, I'm Mark Moses. Have a great night. And guess what? We'll see you tomorrow, 3 o'clock, kids.